Welcome, everybody, to Real Deal Media's original series, The Lounge. I am your lounge master, the Honorable Dean Ryan. Tonight is a return to form for one of the most celebrated shows that focuses in and hones in on topics that include a historical background, a current and active updated information on certain topics, as the world we know is constantly evolving. Specifically, what the episode and the title entails, Holy Wars. So tonight we're going to be getting into just exactly what is or what are Holy Wars, who's involved, how did it start, what is the history of Israel, because like many people in the West, I don't go to bed and wake up thinking about Israel or Palestine or for that fact, anybody in Qatar, but maybe some people do, but for the most part, we really don't. So tonight we have the entire on-air crew here with me tonight, and you're going to be seeing the return of Aaron Cates, who was hiding in a monk monastery. I found him today, finally. I brought him back. He was finding himself in Tibet, I believe. We'll ask him about that. And the one and only Jim Fencer will be joining us here. But before I bring them in, I just have to remind everybody that we are broadcasting now everywhere tonight. We are playing with the algorithms once again. Yeah, once again, that's what we do. So we are on Facebook here tonight at The Real Dean Ryan. We're also on Dean Ryan TV over there on YouTube. We're also on X, not the drug, but the platform, and Brighteon and Rumble, I believe. So that's how that one goes. Anyways, we're going to get started here as we kind of get some different perspectives about what happened, what occurred over there in the Middle East. Who's to blame? Who's the hidden hands? Who's all the characters? And we're going to get started here. So let's welcome our patrons here tonight as our panel is ready. All the way from Toronto, Canada. He's known as Toronto's favorite son. He is the Inspector Aaron Cates. Welcome here to the lounge. Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gents. Still good to be back. How are you, Dean?
Ladies and gents, yes, yes, yes. You're very Mandarin tonight, as in Mandarin Orange. Okay, so the next one here, who else we're going to welcome to the lounge? This is a gentleman who has followed Middle East history of what's happened in Persia and Mesopotamia. He is very well informed on this and studied research. The one, the only, the Jim Fetzer. Jim, welcome to the lounge.
Dean, it's a pleasure to join you and Aaron this evening.
Jim, same. Awesome. Always a pleasure. Honored.
Yes, it is. Okay, so we're going to get started tonight with a little video here, and we're going to get to Aaron's perspective here as he's going to tell us his thoughts. A lot of people have been asking Aaron, and Aaron has a lot to say. He's been teasing it all day to me, so we'll find out what that is. So anyways, the first little video here we're going to see is from a very well-renowned reporter. He's great. He's fantastic. It's about the history now of something called Zionism and Israel. I didn't know about it. They don't teach us anything in school except how to find the answers to test without getting caught. At least that's what I learned. Anyways, in this next report here, take a look, get well noticed with it, get well informed as Greg Reese tells us the history of how Israel all started. Check this out.
The word Israel was first presented in the Bible as a name given to Jacob after he fought an angel. Its meaning was a man who has struggled with God and is commonly translated as God prevails or man seeing God. Many have argued that the word Israel in the Bible does not refer to a place, but rather a believer or a group of believers in God. Others believe the land known as Palestine was where the biblical state of Israel once stood. And in the 17th century, Sabbatai Zevi was the first Jew to try and resettle there. Sabbatai Zevi claimed to be the Messiah and amassed a large Jewish following that engaged in ritual sex orgies and the defilement of God's law. In the spring of 1666, they were planning to be the first Jewish settlement in Palestine. But things changed when Sabbatai was arrested and thrown in jail. His radical movement continued with the Frankism movement, and Zionism became more political. Although they claimed to be secular, the Zionists flooded the temples with prayers for a return to Zion and a restoration of the Jewish state. But the rabbis rejected them, In 1885, the rabbis wrote that we consider ourselves no longer a nation, but a religious community, and we therefore expect neither a return to Palestine nor a sacrificial worship under the sons of Aaron, nor the restoration of any of the laws. While the rabbis offered no support, the Zionists garnered the support of the British Crown as early as 1841, and they were funded by the Rothschild banking dynasty, otherwise known as the Bank of England. So the Crown was likely involved from the start. In 1897, the political intent to recreate the State of Israel was made official to the public, and in 1917, under the British government's Balfour Declaration, British troops seized control of Palestine on behalf of the Zionists. In 1922, the League of Nations adopted the declaration, and in 1947, the United Nations granted parts of Palestine to the Zionists. Between 1947 and 1949, Palestinians were made refugees and kicked out of the homes of their ancestors. Hundreds of villages were destroyed, and thousands of Palestinians were murdered in a series of massacres known as the Nakba. The Zionists killed Palestinian Muslims, Christians, and Jews. The Zionists claimed to be non-religious, but they were mostly Ashkenazi Jews. The Ashkenazi can be traced back to the Khazars, the progenitors of Rabbinic Judaism. The Khazar Khaganate was a major empire in what is now Ukraine, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and parts of Russia, Turkey, and Iran. It was ruled by the Khazars, but made up of several diverse nomadic tribes. In the year 740, the Khazars mass converted to Judaism. Synagogues and schools were built, and Rabbinic Judaism was born. The original Jerusalem Talmud was replaced by the recently codified Babylonian Talmud, which was based on Babylonian philosophy and became the mainstream, thanks to the Khazars and the Zionists. Some Christians believe that this is the synagogue of Satan, written about in the Bible, which say they are Jews and are not. And many other Christians have become Zionists themselves. The Zionists have tremendous support from American megachurches and Christian evangelicals, many of whom believe that as the world becomes a fiery hell, they will be saved and brought to an eternal paradise. But in order for this to happen, the Temple of Solomon must be rebuilt, and two-thirds of the Jewish people must perish. According to the Bible, King Solomon's temple was constructed in 957 BC and destroyed in 586 BC, rebuilt again in 516 BC, and destroyed again in the year 70 AD. Many Christians and Jews believe that this temple must be rebuilt in order for their Messiah to come. But there is something in its way. Originally built near the end of the 7th century, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is considered one of the three holiest sites in Islam. Islam teaches that this is where the Prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven. The Temple Mount has been occupied by Israel ever since the Six-Day War of 1967, and now it looks like they are ready to complete their mission. This is the holy war that sane people have feared and zealots have prayed for. They want you to pick a side and kill each other, but we can always choose peace and learn to love our neighbors.
Yes, thank you, Greg Reese. Okay, we're going to go to the guys here. And before I do, yes, we are getting word that there is an active insurrection happening at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. right now. We're just getting that word coming down into the RDM newsroom. We'll be touching upon that shortly. Let's bring in Aaron Cates and Jim Fencer. Yeah, a lot of things are going on as you can. Just when you're focusing on one thing, Aaron, boom, we got another breaking news here. So forgive us for the just brevity of it all. Let's get into the history of this. I didn't know any of this. This is new to me. I don't know about you, Aaron and Jim, but it's very complicated stuff. It appears to be Aaron Cates. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, sorry.
No, I got you.
Okay, it's very complicated. A lot of people are trying to figure this out just since everything started the last 2 weeks, the last 2 months. The area is thousands of years in the making. It's very complex. A lot of wars have happened over the years. Jerusalem's been taken over many, many different times. Both temples, Jewish temples, were destroyed once by the Babylonians, one by the Romans. The area, were thousands of years of fighting. So it's not very easy to understand. And what I'm trying to tell people is if you really want to understand a place, rather than hearing it on the news or hearing it on Facebook or whatever it is, you need to go to a place and be there. Now, I've been there several times. I can't speak for some of the other patriots that are trying to tell me what is the land about. But when you go there, you can only feel such an unbelievable place. Like, it's very historical. It's very ancient. It's got many, many different religions have been there. And many people speak different languages. There's a lot of truths that are not being told. And one of the truths I can clearly say is about 80,000 Palestinians actually cross into Gaza and Israel for work every day. A lot of supplies go in and out every single day, water supplies, a lot of, so, and there's a lot of Arabs and Jews and Christians who actually get along in Israel. I've seen it, a lot of friends. I have friends inside. You know, I don't see the tension inside as much. A lot of people want peace. Most of the citizens do not want to go to a war right now. When I was speaking to a friend of mine this morning, and on his way back, because they're 7 hours ahead, on his way back from work, he had to stop the car because he's looking up both ways and there's missiles like flying over his head.
Terrible. No.
It's not a great way to live. He does not want, you know, he's usually an upbeat type of guy, but right now he's going through, you know, the psychological warfare. And what people have to understand is it's happening on both sides. The one question we have to answer, Jim, and you can agree with me, that we think that something is definitely went wrong. I mean, the censorship on the wall, they can detect a cockroach from miles away, like if it came close to the border. For some reason, there must have been a stand down or something happened technically on that day where Hamas originally attacked into Israel. So, you know, I'm just saying that something happened. We need to get to the bottom of this. But there's a lot of untruths not being spoken, and the people are innocent. And I'll leave it at this, the kicker. Here's how we know that the governments are infiltrated, is that which country was one of the most miracled in the world? And that was Israel. Israel was trying to shove the miracles down everyone to, you know, take 3-4 times and so forth. So if you want to start with that, you know, citizens are under attack, and it's not the citizens that are, you know, guilty of this. They're innocent on both sides. And we need to get
that's absolutely correct. And we have a lot of people who said they cannot find this link right now. Yeah, since this conflict started, Aaron, the censorship and shadow banning has been like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, we're barely even getting 100 views over there on Facebook. That's the lockdown of it all. So, okay, let's get into some of these things here. You sent me this video, and a lot of people are asking about the insurrection. Oh, my gosh. Let me give you just a feel on what's happening right now. This is breaking news. I can tell you right now, at the Capitol building, there are about hundreds of American Jews who are sitting down in Congress and won't leave until Congress calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. That's happening. As thousands of U.S. Jews are protesting outside, there's also Palestinians. It appears to be pro-Palestinian. So a lot of people are coming together, in a sense, to try to stop the war. I'm going to show you this clip. Is that okay? This is from inside the Capitol building. This just came to me right now. Stand by here, Aaron. I was not expecting this whatsoever.
No problem. News is all about.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. This is from Marjorie Greene Taylor.
Okay, so we have an insurrection happening in the Cannon building. This is the march outside, the pro-Palestinian march going on outside. And then we have this happening inside of our building. I'm going to take you guys down so you can see what's happening on the third floor. Literally, they've come in and taken over. This is insanity. This is where the press does all their hits. Of course, they know what they're doing. They always know what they're doing. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. Let me just pause that there. We'll keep a note on that. Jim, you want to comment on that? That is from within the past hour or two, currently in Washington, D.C., Jim Fetzer.
Yeah, Dean, it's an anti-war protest. Insurrection, of course, is the wrong word. There's no effort here to overthrow the government, but there's a common abuse of language, just as occurred on January 6th. You have Jews for a ceasefire inside the building. You notice they had a big banner, and pro-Palestinians outside, and they were all converging in a desire to stop the violence in Israel. They aren't going to succeed, but I like that they're making the effort. It is symbolic and telling.
Very symbolic. Very symbolic. Just as you were saying your thesis there, Aaron, that there are normal, everyday people that are in that region and in your country and mine. And what we are going up against is a criminal government on, you know, both sides of the fence here. Even David Icke said so greatly, you know, days ago, he was in my head and he said the same thing I was thinking. A lot of this doesn't make sense. But here, I don't put it past Benjamin Netanyahu, who was about to get ousted. Crime and scandals up the wazoo. There was supposed to be tens of thousands of people protesting against him. And the word we're getting is, if you're a dissenter, what they say, and you're Israeli, you're treated like a second-class citizen, and it's dangerous to be that. And it's very dangerous to be that right now, because now he has special war powers emergency acts, just like Bush did. This is a very dangerous time, because he's not going to go down with this ship. He's going to bring people down. So this is why it's very, very dangerous. And here's what's happening in Toronto. Aaron sent me the following clip. Check this out. So, yeah, that was live in Toronto. That's what Aaron provided for us. What exactly is the update in Canada regarding the entire conflict right now, Aaron?
Well, right now, that was the outside the Israeli embassy in Toronto. So there was a pro-Palestinian protest going on there. But there have been pro-Israeli protests also almost every other week. There is a lot of things going behind the scenes that just people are not talking about. And actually, what's interesting, I've seen so many good stories actually come out of it also. It's interesting. Sometimes in a conflict, there can be good stories. People who never prayed before, people who never looked to do good deeds, such as maybe donating some money to people in homeless or in shelters, whether it's on both sides. You know, a lot of people woke up. They were on the couch through the miracle, through the bat who loved us, and through the Ukraine war that's going on. Now it's finally hit home where, you know, people are really going through a tough time. People do not want to get in another world war. And it's just absolutely crazy. All around the world, you know, people have, you know, some anger in them, and they're letting it out. But we got to really restrain ourselves, folks. We don't really know truly what's going on unless you're there. It's a very complex place to understand, but it's very historical. It's very biblical, and it's a place that's been around thousands of years, and everyone's got their own ideologies of what they want as the outcome. It's got a lot of history, and it's very complex. You cannot figure this place out in 2 weeks or 2 months of learning.
No, very true. This is why Ron Paul and the forefathers said that America should stay out of foreign entanglements. It's none of our business to be the world referee or police. Here's another video regarding this is the soldier video you sent me. Then we have one more. We'll end on the hospital Tel Aviv video. Okay, so what are we about to see here? This is a soldier
in the car. So he's about to talk to you about that they want to go into Gaza and do the right thing, but it could be a potential setup for the Israeli soldier. So please listen to this. This is crazy.
Let's check it out here.
Folks, what I'm about to give you is confidential information that is being released thanks to sources inside the Chinese Communist Party. These sources are telling Miles Guo, the founder of the new federal state of China, that Israel will face a massive setup job when it goes into Gaza. Now, this information confirms my warnings issued last night on the Real America's Voice program, that I believe Hamas is looking to lure Israel into Gaza, and there will be all kinds of booby traps and improvised explosive devices. Now, this new information says these IEDs buried beneath the ground will be via remote control, and they are being dubbed as, quote, super bombs. That from these sources inside the Chinese Communist Party. Now, how does the CCP know about this? That's my biggest concern. The CCP knows about this because I fear they're working with Iran with the planning of all of this. These sources also say that after this happens, there will be attacks on Israel from nearly all sides of that country. This is a warning to the people of Israel, not to deter you, but to take precautions to prevent the attacks from happening and go in and then wipe Hamas out like never before.
Now, this goes right into my thesis, Aaron, and I'll give it back to you, of a cold war between China and Israel. And it was deemed crazy by some of the pundits out there, but it makes all the sense to me when you talk about the Great Reset, how the number one was always meant to be China, and they were working hand in hand with Israel to make them the number two. But that doesn't seem to be the case now, and I can get deeper into that. But Aaron, you want to comment on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. There was supposed to be like China was supposed to be really close with Israel at one point. I think they were actually going to use one of their ports in the Mediterranean. And for some reason, I guess Israel, you know, decided not to go through with that. And they were supposed to build a long train. Does it ring a bell or something along from Israel to China or something along those lines, a long Asian train. And that ended up not working. So I think there's some, you know, disagreements there. But there's a few like untruths that have been told, you know, regarding the whole conflict. I know that Israel is not innocent, and also Palestinians. Nobody's innocent when there, you know, there's a war going on. It takes two sides to tango. Propaganda works on both sides. But one of the things I do know is that Israel originally created Hamas, and from what I understand, and that was to try and, you know, get rid of the Palestinian Liberation Organization out. And, you know, over the years, they've lost control. And now Iran is totally in control of Hamas and Hezbollah. And the whole region is just, it can go at any second. We got to get peace. We cannot continue down this path. It can just get out of hand very easily. Like, if you just study the history says that, you know, be careful. Be very, very careful right now.
Okay, Jim, do you want to comment on the, this was a Canadian soldier, am I correct? Is that who that was? That
actually, you know what, I don't know. I don't know who that was. It looks like, I'm not sure, actually, to be honest.
Jim, you want to comment on that? Because, you know, I've always seen a cold proxy war between China and Israel, and this almost highlights the thesis I've had for almost 3 years now. Go ahead, Jim Fetzer.
Well, to comment on something Aaron mentioned way back in the beginning, Bibi imposed a 7-hour withdrawal from responding to action. And it was all deliberate to allow Hamas to take an amount of territory in a single day that was more than the Ukrainian army had in 4 months of its ill-fated counteroffensive that cost some 90,000 Ukrainian soldier lives. So it was a setup in the sense that Bibi wanted this to happen. He was in deep political trouble, as Aaron has been outlining, and you have mentioned too, Dean. And I think this has given him an upper hand politically. There were about to be mass protests in Tel Aviv against him. He's trying to reorganize the government as though single-handedly one could reconstitute the Supreme Court. An awful lot of Israelis think this is all wrong. And the case against him for corruption appears to be rock solid. But the man has more political lives than a cat. I was thinking, what American political figure I'd compare him most closely to? And I think it turns out to be Lyndon Johnson, who, of course, was a
great that's a good name.
Assassination of JFK, so he could become president. And there's just a whole lot of extraordinarily complex events involved here, as Aaron was observing.
Well, yeah. Jim, even, you know, Ron Paul let the cat out of the bag a while ago and said the U.S. is funding Hamas, too. And I'm sure that that's the case. Where are these weapons coming from? Because the overall is they want a greater war that they could not achieve in Ukraine. So they're going to use this tinderbox of a complicated, you know, cluster to do it. And if this doesn't work, they got Taiwan next. So overall, that's where it is. So we have to call the spades a spade and the oligarchies, you know, just what they're doing here. Let's get in. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, let me just add, I think this is born out of frustration of the failure of the war in Ukraine, where Russia has defeated the Ukrainian armed forces. This was going to be the new Israel. They know they're tenability in Palestine is limited. Henry Kissinger 10 and a half years ago said in 10 years Israel would no longer exist. But because they've been defeated with their attempt to move to Ukraine, and most of the present inhabitants of Israel are Khazarians or descendants of that very region. They're not from the tribe of Judah. In fact, it's the Palestinians who have a greater degree of Hebrew blood than the Israelis, which ironically, since they are bona fide Semites, mean that Israel is actually the foremost practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today.
There's that factor to it. Aaron, how come Hamas won't go after Henry Kissinger? What seems to be the stall up there?
Well, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. I still have my disagreement maybe with Jim on the last one, but I wanted to get into something else, actually. Okay. False flag.
At your own risk. At your own risk.
Yeah, exactly. I'll leave it with Jim. You know, false flag. You see Barack Obama come out and say on his tweet that he supports the Jews and he supports Israel. Well, I know on my side, he's one of the biggest anti-Semites and biggest people against Israel over the years with his policies and so forth. So for him to come out and tweet that he supports Israel, red flag right there, flag on the play. Zelensky supports Israel, flag on the play. Chrystia Freeland supports Israel. She's a Nazi. She called truckers Nazis for coming out and you know, supporting the trucker convoy in Ottawa. So, I mean, for her to come out, her grandfather was fourth in command to Hitler, to come out and say she supports Israel's and the Jews and Trudeau and the Horror of Havana supporting it. There's too many red flags that I see. There's a lot of psychological warfare going on right now, Dean.
There are. I want to get to the hospital next before Aaron takes his exit. But you know what I've said, too, is what Benjamin Netanyahu has done has put a big risk to just everyday normal Jewish people around the world and has polarized just their situation and has done no favors for anyone. This is a Bush-ism if I've ever seen one. OK, let's get to the hospital. And we have a heartbreak coming up soon here. What is this next video? This is from Tel Aviv. Is that what it's very 6 seconds?
Yeah, that's 10 seconds. That was my friend this morning on the way back from work. He pulled over because he had to stop. He saw missiles flying over him, like left and right. So he decided to.
I can't even imagine, Jim. I mean, yeah. I can't even imagine this right now. I mean, I bitch about military aircraft over me all the time. I can't, that's nothing.
You're gardeners, but what about missiles?
You know, leaf blowers, they're just as bad in my view. Oh, here it is. Okay,
only
yeah.
10 seconds, but you could see there was a missile flying there and left. There was a few of them this morning, he said. So that's how he got to work or home from work. A little amazing. Bit scary. It's like a video game.
Amazing. Aaron, any kind of final kind of thoughts here? You want to get into the hospital before you go?
Yeah, I do. I actually really do, because I think everyone jumped the gun. And you know what? When I first found out there was like 40 beheaded Israeli babies, like I also jumped the gun, I'll admit it. But I ended up going back and texting people, unconfirmed. So, you know, I made a mistake. I realized with this, the same thing playbook you do with Ukraine and the same thing you do with the miracles and the bad who loved us. We got to take a breath. We got to take a step back, and we got to realize who benefits from this. And at the end of the day, the media was coming out from all sides. Yesterday it was, they were saying the Israelis did it. Today it seems like it's a Palestinian rocket that didn't go off properly and it ended up hitting the hospital. One of the things that I realized is that they said right away what the death toll was. I don't know how they got to the death toll so fast with all the rubble and everything. All of a sudden they just have 500 people. They counted in the middle of the night. That's very, very suspicious to me. And you know how I know that? Because about 20 years ago, I'll leave it at this, guys. I had a friend, he was going into a Sabaro Italian restaurant in Tel Aviv. And 30 seconds later, he walked out and a suicide bomber went off in the restaurant. It was in the newspapers. And he saw arms and feet flying and so forth. And I remember him telling me it took them weeks before they could find out how many people were there and what happened. I mean, this used to happen all the time. Remember that? People on buses used to get blown up, this and that. So on both sides, guys, we got to really figure out the propaganda. And there is no way in the middle of the night that they were able to count that many bodies that fast. And I said to Dean, I said to a few other people, including James, my friend James Grunberg, American Media, and Patriot Mike Cook, we've kind of come to the conclusion that it was not an Israeli strike. It does no benefit to them to hit a hospital and start killing all these people. I know for a fact people in the military, in IDF, they used to use rubber bullets and try to really avoid the killing. Now, people get caught in a crossfire, but I'll leave it at this, is that we really got to take a step back before we start jumping to conclusions, because that was too fast, too soon, and people can get hurt if we don't do our job as in the media.
Good point, everybody. And before Aaron gets out of here, and how are you holding up, Aaron? I mean, you're going through a lot. I know you have a lot of friends and many people in this situation, and a lot of people have been concerned about you. How are you holding up?
I'm trying to take it day by day. It's Israel's always in my heart. I'm not going to lie. Israel is like home away from home. I have friends, I have family there. And, I've known people, one of my good friends, his nephew was murdered. I have someone that I know, a friend of a friend. They're in a school. One of the kids' friends got kidnapped. So this is a false flag, but this is real stuff, people. And look what they did with 9/11. Okay. People got hurt in 9/11. People are getting hurt now, and they're playing a chessboard with people's lives. And this is on both sides. I care about both people. I want peace. I really do want peace. The Israeli citizens do not want to be in this. And what people have to realize, they're being dragged in, no different than the Palestinians and Iranians, and everyone's being dragged in right now.
Please keep
in mind, the citizens do not want this. And at the end of the day, we're all in this together, so we got to figure this one out, guys.
Very well spoken, Aaron Cates. If you want to watch Aaron or follow Aaron on Twitter over there, X, you can do that. We're trying to build his followers up. There it is, Inspector Cates, and there's everybody's there. So, anyways, Aaron Cates, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Honored, Dean. Thank you. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here with Jim Fetzer's all his files and work he put together. We're going to get into the thick of it and go even deeper than ever before here at the lounge as we return to form. And we're going to get to, just what's going on at the Capitol. I mean, this is pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? So we're going to have a look at this. Take a quick break. We'll be right back here at Real Deal Media's original series that is getting to the depths, the inner depths of this reality. Stand by. Sitting in here is no business.
So we really want to our treatment and to affirm and to support and empower these youth, not to limit their participation in activities,
sports,
and even limit their ability to get
gender affirmation treatment in their state.
Remember, like, going into the 90s? Like, there's some movies that I would recommend you leave in the past. The movies with cops. So you had one cop who was playing by the rules, ready for retirement, the other one who was rogue, took the badge.
Maverick, he's a maverick. He don't play by the rules. He's dangerous.
He hangs on to 18-wheelers going, you know, 90 miles per hour by the side and takes a fleet of army down, a whole fleet. Just talking about it, I get blurry. That's how bad it gets. No, there's no rules. Once you take the badge off, anything goes. You know it's full on, too, when the good cop, who played by the rules his whole career, goes,
all right, I'm taking my badge off, too, for this one time.
And, you know, you think about those films we grew up on. It's the cop movies, lawyer TV shows, the hospital shows. You would think that the only jobs in America are cops, lawyers, and some gig at the hospital. Okay, we are back. Jim, are we here? Yes, there you are. Okay, we are back here at the lounge, the original series. Now we're going to get into some deeper focus. Jim Fencer, are we ready for this?
Well, I think we are, Dean, but I mean, Aaron's a good guy, but he's completely wrong. The Palestinians don't have anything with the explosive force that would hit that hospital. In fact, they play games. They show a photograph of a part of a Palestinian rocket that hit a parking lot, and it's doing no damage at all compared with a massive hole by one of these JDAMs. And I guarantee you 100% it was a JDAM. We even have video that shows it, and you can see from the sound of it that it was the JDAM and not the Palestinian. Chris Hedges, and I just put this in the chat.
Right here. Here it is.
He has done a wonderful new piece, Dean, where he's saying how he's been to Israel multiple times. He knows the weaponry on both sides, and there's nothing remotely that powerful in the Palestinian archive. Yeah, this is significant. If I scroll down a little further, hold, Dean, you went too far. Yeah.
Okay, there it is.
I covered war for 2 decades, including 7 in the Middle East. Leave that there. I learned quite a bit about the size and lethality of explosive devices. There is nothing in the arsenal of Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad that could have replicated the damage that was inflicted on the hospital. I mean, he's very candid about it. My hat is off to him for being so open and truthful about it, because the propaganda is just massive, just absolutely massive.
It is.
It's a good piece. We don't need to go through this whole thing, but it makes the key point, you know, about the relative. I mean, this whole business has been absurd. You have a land occupied by Palestinians for thousands of years. You've got an Israeli state created 75 years ago, and yet the Israelis want to drive out the Palestinians. I mean, they want to cleanse it. And I guarantee you what's going on is out of frustration of the failure to secure Ukraine as the new Palestine. If they're going to have to stay where they are, then they're going to get the hell rid of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, and then they're going to move against the West Bank. It's going to be total. They were on the brink of an invasion when this event occurred with a hospital. World opinion is marshaled against them. They're getting threats from every side. And if they move forward, I guarantee you, Israel will no longer exist.
Well, you know what it is, too. It's the polarization. You know, there's elements in the political world that defund the police. All cops are bad. And then you'll hear someone who says, well, my son's a cop. He's great. And I think that's just what it is there's great people that have overall bad institutions around them. And that's what's hard. And then when you're emotionally tied to it, you know, it's a very emotional thing. I don't know how I would be right now if I was living there, or if I had, you know, if my best friend was in harm's way and his daughter was kidnapped. It's very bad all around. But here's the big game changer. We played this last night at World at War, Jim. It's what Charlie Kirk said, who's very pro-Israel, no doubt about it, who said, wait a minute. Why was this allowed to happen for 6 hours and there was no IDF people at the border? In fact, here's a little replay.
I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still had the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that is an IDF soldier, right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu, where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Was there a stand down order?
The answer, Dean, is emphatically yes. There was a stand down order for 7 hours to allow Hamas to get out there, get territory, get hostages, create a brouhaha. Did Bibi know about it? Bibi directed the whole damn thing. Are you kidding me? It's like, involved in 9/11? Israel masterminded the whole damn thing with complicity of the CIA neocons and the DOD and in the administration. Dick Cheney was on the ground, the executive director on 9/11, and the Mossad. There were 200 Israeli Mossad agents masquerading as art students in New York. They were going to blow up the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, the Brooklyn Bridge. They were going to isolate Manhattan as an island, Dean. But the New York cops were really good, and they gathered most of them up before they could do such stunning damage.
Jim, you're really on point, because, you know, this could have not even been Hamas breaking into the border there. This could have been directed as it was in 9/11. The parallels are just uncanny. This could have been some, you know, Mossads posing as the Hamas, the same people that Netanyahu funded. There's so much kabuki theater, but I have this article from Jim Fetzer. Let's get into it now. It says, what is this? Cover up. Israeli deletes video they claim showed Islamic Jihad rocket hit hospital. Sound analysis suggests Israel used powerful JDAM missile. Just exactly what's this all about, Jim Fetzer?
Yeah. Just scroll down a little further and you'll see this is an Israeli shill. He's in the IDF chain of command for getting intel. He gets intel before it becomes public. It was posted a tweet saying that the Israeli Air Force had struck a hospital because Hamas was using the hospital as a base to fire off rockets. And it's a shame that all the babies and women and patients got killed. But the fact is, it was their plan all along. Scroll down, Dean, a ways, a bit further. You'll find it. And then they remove the post. You'll see a little bit further. We're going to come back to some of this. Go just a tad more, Dean. Here it is. No, back up.
Yeah, right here, right here. Here's
what I want. Why, the question becomes, why did you delete your initial tweet? Well, look at the initial tweet right there. Haniyana Naftali breaking. Israeli Air Force struck a Hamas terrorist base inside a hospital in Gaza. A multiple number of terrorists are dead. It's heartbreaking that Hamas is launching rockets from hospitals, mosques, schools, and using civilians as human shields. And the commentator says, why did you delete your tweet? You've already confirmed that Netanyahu put you on an official Israeli task force to control the narrative online. This means you get information from Israeli intel before the media does. This is very damning, Dean. If you go to the next, we'll see the video that confirms that the what hit the hospital was a JDAM. It wasn't a Palestinian. The sound of the Palestinian rocket is very faint. The sound of the JDAM is very strong. And as Chris Hedges pointed out, there's nothing. I'm not sure that's the right one. I think it was the very next story, not the next in that article, but in the second article I sent you.
Oh, yes.
You'll find the video. And the Palestinians don't have anything this powerful. And as Chris Hedges pointed out, if they did, there'd be major blocks in Israel that would have been demolished, but they're all standing just fine because what the Palestinians have are pathetic and weak compared to what the Israelis are deploying.
Here's the video. We played this the other night. We'll play it again and get some more analysis on it. This is the supposed hospital, I believe. Well, that's powerful. Let's hear that one more time. There it is. You know, I'm even open to the idea, Jim, it could have been anybody. It could have been a third party that only maybe certain elements of the Benjamin Netanyahu cabinet knew about. You know what I mean? This is so 9/11.
Dean, you had this IDF shill telling you it was the Israeli Air Force who did it. There it was. He knew. They were going to turn this against Hamas. It was supposed to show how bad Hamas was that it forced Israel to destroy a hospital because they were using it as cover. Bullshit. They knew damn well what they were doing, and the death toll is going to be close to 1,000 before all this is said.
There it is.
I've been called up from the front line to a different front, digital warfare. The Prime Minister has called me to join this task force here behind me that is fighting around the clock to fight and defend Israel in the media. There is a war between good and evil. And Israel's battle is your battle as well. Because there is a lot of misinformation, a lot of hate, blind hate, anti-Semitism, and lies. We all have to fight it together. So I call you to stand on the right side of history. Take a stand, a bold stand for Israel. And together, we are going to win this war. There is no other option. Thank you very much.
No,
see, that's the shill. They're talking about this guy's an Israeli apologist. You know, anytime Israel is criticized for anything, it's anti-Semitism.
Well,
what do you think? Israel is a flawless nation that never makes any mistakes. It's absurd. They use it as a catch-all cover because it's a Jewish state. They made that decision, Dean, not that many years ago, whether they be a democratic state where Palestinians could live as citizens and coexist in Israel or a Jewish state, and they chose to be a Jewish state, and they've begun the greatest practitioners of apartheid, of anti-Semitism in the world today. Ironically, DNA tells the story.
Well, I think he's wrong on the premise that there's no other option. Well, yes, there is. There's an option of ousting the criminal government controlling the country of Israel that allowed this to happen. And they're jailing dissidents right now in Israel, if not doing worse. They consider them just total betrayals of everything, just like the neocons did after 9/11, Jim. If you said anything outside of the narrative, you would be just jailed. Remember what Bush said? Let's not tolerate any conspiratorial anti-American hate. This is lock and step after 9/11.
Yeah. Right. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists, right? That's what Bibi is basically asserting, you know, as though these Zionist Jews were somehow a force for morality and good, when the opposite is the case. It's outrageous. Dean, if you can find that video, you'll see the difference between the... Yeah. Here you go. Listen to the faint sound of the Hamas.
Bombs out.
Bombs away.
Oh, no.
say it once more so people can hear that very faint sound of the Palestinian. You can barely hear it versus the JDAM.
Okay, one more time. Here we go.
On the way.
Incredible. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Palestine just doesn't have anything like that. They don't have anything remotely as powerful. Roughly, they have sticks and stones, you know, and they're up against tanks and automatic weapons. I mean, it's never been a fair fight. Now, there's an irony here that Hamas may have acquired weapons left over from Afghanistan when Biden did the botched withdrawal and left billions in American military weapon behind, and that much of the weaponry that's been sent to Ukraine had been put on the black market to enrich and corrupt Ukrainian figures. It never got to the front line. It never did enter into battle. It just made money out of it. But I believe both Hamas and Hezbollah have been able to acquire some of those weapons that are paid for by the U.S. taxpayer, Dean, irony of ironies.
It truly is an irony. You know, in, as we're saying this, I'm going to go to this next report here from, who is it? Flashback, Black Flag is Risen in the Rezavi Shrine. We have that one also. We have one about the hospital, but it has some very gory pictures I don't want to show. We'll get us banned right off the bat, as you can imagine. And I can't even see this. I wish I
didn't. Well, this is an important story about the Black Flag, Dean. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do that. And I also have some B-roll, but just to put it in the context, you have the financial minister over there in Israel, who's literally just months and years ago, in presently as well, saying that these people don't exist, they should be erased. So we can, you know, debate all day whose rocket was it anyway, that wonderful just kind of thing we're doing here. But the bottom line is, I mean, these people are even right of Netanyahu in his cabinet. This is like the Dick Cheney's and the Rumsfeld sitting right there next to the Bush character called Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one here. This is Black Flag. And then I have a question for you after this, Jim. Go ahead. Here we have it. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, this is very significant. Black flag raised. Islam is going to war. There you see the flag. Scroll down. We get this story of its significance. Hal Turner stopped with a bombing of the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital in Gaza, which killed over 500, 790, I say it's going to be 1,000 before it's done, being blamed on Israel and the U.S. The Black Plague is risen on the Rezavi Shrine in Mashhad, Khorasan province, Iran, shown above. This is in Islamic scripture. When a black flags come from Khorasan, go to them, even if you have to crawl on snow. For among them is a Khalifa from Allah, the Mahdi. In the image below, you see a workman raising the black flag atop the shrine. Now, this is understood to be calling for a holy war of Muslims that come together, Dean. And if you go a little further down, you'll see how many governments have not been played by the propaganda trying to spin it as though this were a Hamas rocket. According to the Haddad, that was good there, prophetic tradition to report the black flag was the battle flag of the Prophet Muhammad, carried into battle by many of his companions. The image has been used as a symbol for religious revolt and engagement in battle, to wit, jihad. Go down further, Dean, and you'll find a list of the countries that agree that this was a rocket was fired right below, right there, right there. So far, the governments of Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Palestine, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and Qatar have all blamed the Israeli Air Force for the explosion at Al Arab Baptist Hospital. The group Hezbollah, blaming Israel and the USA, has called for a day of rage worldwide tomorrow. It may not be immediate, Dean, but I believe that we have gone past the tripwire, that it's now inevitable that there's going to be a holy war of Muslims against Israel, and that Bibi brought in Biden as we were hiding behind a woman's skirt to try to gain a little time for calming down. But honestly, I believe this is only going to allow Hezbollah, Syria, the other countries to become better organized. I believe this is now inevitable, Dean.
But Jim, I have to be the monkey wrench in the equation here is where America comes involved, and North America for that effect, Canada as well. How we can't go to war if we can't fund a war. And to fund a war, you have to have a Speaker of the House. Now, here's an update, everybody. I can now share with you, and I'm going to get Jim's take on this. This is just now coming out that Jim Jordan has now lost a second vote of round two of becoming the Speaker of the House. He comes up short in the second round of voting. Can we speak on that real quick, Jim? Because, I mean, he's a sure shot with many, many people, but there's a lot of holdouts in his own party from these rhinos. Why is that? What's going to happen next? And how can we go to war when there's no
Speaker? Of course, all the Democrats are voting 212 together, and not in favor of Jim Jordan. He had 200 originally. He gained two, but he lost four. So he's two votes shy. There's a very important story out there that was run by Steve Bannon that lobbyists have been making special deals with representatives to vote against Jim Jordan because Jim Jordan doesn't want to support the war in Ukraine, and I'll bet he doesn't want to support the war in Israel either. So these are lobbyists for the military-industrial complex who are trying to make sure their profit margin doesn't diminish. I think Steve Bannon's got it exactly right, and this is a reason why I believe it was a mistake to postpone the voting. You take one vote, you take another vote, you take another vote, you take another vote. It took 15 votes to get Kevin McCarthy elected. They should not be postponing to allow outside intervention by lobbyists in Washington, D.C., which is just loaded. There are more lobbyists in Washington than there are members of Congress by a ratio of about 10 to 1.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we're going to continue on here. At some point in time, Jim, we're going to start looking at inquiries and what have you out there that we can.
Sure.
We're really of very course. Enthusiastic. Before I continue, Jim, I got to ask you, when you were in the Marines, as U.S. Marine back in the 60s and you were in college, was Israel even on the mind of people back then? I mean, were we thinking about Palestinian or Middle East, anything in the 1960s and prior? I can't remember.
Well, from the founding of the State of Israel, the Palestinian problem has been the biggest human rights problem confronting the entire world. And it's been the failure, the neglect of this problem that has culminated now with the desire to eliminate all the Palestinians by the Jews. And there's no question that's their objective. And they're being egged on by lunatics like Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham. And
I'll say this to Prime Minister Netanyahu, finish them. Finish them. Hamas did this. You know Iran's behind it. Finish them. They should have hell to pay for what they've just done.
Finish them. Yeah, that's Nikki Haley. She's
Mark Levin, whom Hannity refers to as the Great One, is calling for Israel, if it's threatened to go down, to exercise a Samson option, where they have nukes in the capitals of all the major cities of Western Europe and the United States to set them off, to take the whole world with them. And if you just ponder what that means, you begin to get a sense of the mentality and the absence of morality of these very powerful individuals, that they would destroy the whole world. This is beyond, if you're not going to play the game my way, I'm going to take my basketball and go home. We're talking about the destruction of the world, Dean. They have adopted this as a policy of Israel.
Well, here's the mass bandit himself, who is now talking about the current conflict, the supposed president of the United States over there in Culver City. Here he is.
Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone. As long as the United States stands, and we will stand forever, we'll not let you ever be alone. Hamas committed atrocities that recall the worst ravages of ISIS, unleashing pure, unadulterated evil upon the world. There's no rationalizing it, no excusing it, period. The brutality we saw would have cut deep anywhere in the world, but it cuts deeper here in Israel.
I've had enough of the grandstanding there.
Disgusting. And that's not even the real Joe Biden. As I pointed out before, I got old footage of Biden. He's very animated. He's very expressive. He's very articulate. He uses his hands and gesture. This guy is none of the above.
Yeah, that's not him.
It's ironic he mentions ISIS, Dean, because ISIS was created by the United States. I mean, a terrorist army to bring pressure on the Syrian government by John Brennan, then head of the CIA, Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, and Barack Obama, then president, in 2012. And when Mike Flynn, who was head of the National Defense Agency, objected, Brennan suggested to Obama that he ought to be fired for standing up against the creation of a terrorist army that, you know, with this fake Biden calling out as the epitome of evil. It was created by the United States, Dean.
It is by this guy here. Yeah, this is one of the creators. This is the masked man himself. Look at that fold. No one's buying it. No one's buying it. Not this guy here, and neither Jim Tucker. Okay, we've had enough of that. Okay, let's move on to this one here because, you know, the Muslims, historically, Jim, Muslims have been very nasty fighters in war. You heard about General Rommel in World War I. The Muslims were cutting the heads off of their opponents, their enemies. Very, very vicious. This is a scary proposition all around. How many sleeper cells do we have in the United States alone? Is beyond our imagination because the border's been wide open for this very moment. Don't you think, Jim?
Oh, absolutely, Dean. Absolutely. Trump's got him out on that very ground. I mean, in my opinion, frankly, unlike Trump, who was faithfully ensuring the laws were being faithfully executed, that I was concerned about the election and whether it was legitimate in 2020, for which he cannot be prosecuted. He has absolute immunity for anything he performed in the lawful operation of his office. Biden has left the borders wide open. He's not enforced the law. That's impeachable all by itself. And he's let millions and millions of young men come into this country. And I believe they're going to form a formidable fighting force to be used against you and me, the American people. And Biden, a fake Biden, has let this happen. It's all deliberate and by design.
By design. Here's U.S. Veto's U.N. Security Council. Let's talk about it. U.S. Veto's U.N. Security Resolution calling for humanitarian pauses in Gaza. Why would the U.S. vote for this? Better question yet, why the hell are we involved? Nobody wants to get involved in this. Just total malarkey. U.S. on Wednesday vetoed Brazilian proposed U.N. Security Council resolution that would have called for humanitarian pauses to allow the delivery of aid to Gaza. They have their water shut off. No food's allowed to go in there. U.S. was the only member of the Security Council to vote against the proposal, which is enough to veto the resolution since U.S. is a permanent member. 9 out of 12 members voted in favor of the resolution, while the U.K. and Russia abstained. That's interesting, the Russia part. A vote came 2 days later. Okay, what's this all about? Why would we vote against this, Jim? And why are we so involved here is the bigger question. Nobody wants
because we're all in the slaughter of the Palestinians. I don't give a damn what Biden says there. Anthony Blinken went over when he talked with President Erdogan of Turkey. He said, I approach this as a Jew, not as an American. Russia abstained because it wasn't strong enough. Russia abstained because it was not strong enough. But the fact that the U.S. would veto a resolution to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza tells all we need to know, Dean. Right there in that single vote tells you all you need to know.
Just incredible. I know Cynthia McKinney has tried to get flotilla aids to the Gaza Strip, which, by the way, it's 5 miles wide, 25 miles long. Here's a better, let me play this as I tell you about it. Jim will tell you too. This is 5 miles wide, 25 miles long. This is the aftermath of that hospital, regardless who shot what and who it came from, whose fingerprints. The fact remains the same. People are starving. I doubt these are actors, you know, like some people have claimed. This is hard to watch. But this is active now. 5 miles wide, 25 miles long. I mean, Jim, if this were to happen in Southside Chicago, you know, I'm not big on the gangster thug culture, but I wouldn't want this to happen on people I despise or don't get along with. The water's dirty. Here's the aid that gets intercepted, just to show you a little bit of it all. So there you have it.
Dean, you got to understand, back on Saturday, they cut off all water, all food, all electricity to Gaza. Remember the rule of threes. Human beings can only go 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. And they cut off the electricity to boot because they didn't want reports coming up by the internet or whatever. They want to keep it all in the dark so that if you don't know it happened, it might as well have not have happened. That's the way they're playing the game. But they cut off food. And the 3 days, Dean. I'm telling you, they're wanting to starve. This is a genocide right there in front of God and everybody. And I say that as an agnostic. We all know what it means. They're doing this blatantly. They fabricated an excuse to slaughter the Palestinians. And all that is causing them pause is the threats of other nations, including of Iran, that has notified Israel that if you proceed with a ground invasion, we will attack you.
Okay, let's get into the holy war part now. We're talking about holy wars. Here you have Malaysia now. They're signing on to this. Malaysia announces its readiness to send military forces occupied Palestine. Excuse me. This is Kuala Lumpur, the Prime Minister of Malaysia, Anwar Ibrahim. I forget that there are Muslims in the Asian nation. I often forget that.
This is a Muslim nation and a whole lot of others.
I know. And then there's like Mormons, too, in the Philippines.
Indonesia, the most populous Muslim nation in the world, is also on the side of Palestinian. Who is not? Anyone who understands the history is on the side of the Palestinians.
Right. And the other side would be we're on the side of the innocent people here who are getting just lambasted with all these bombs that it's a crazy situation. But let's talk about the holy war now, because here's my big concern, too, that is not often expressed. China's having a field day right now. They're meeting with Putin. Their white papers about their new communist manifesto. Everybody's militaries is now dedicated to this whole region. China is now just a kid in a candy store, just having their way. What do you think we're to expect elsewhere around the world as we're all focused on this region?
Well, both China and Russia have declared that the Palestinian people are entitled to their own state. They've endorsed a two-state solution. And it's only the United States that hold out. The United States is the wrong side of history. We're going down with Israel, which has never been our ally, which has only exploited the United States for its own benefit, which attacked the USS Liberty in 1967, knowing it was an American ship, and more egregiously committed the atrocity of 9/11 to provide a fabricated excuse for American forces to be deployed to the Middle East to take out the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. It's always been about Israel first and foremost. They only care about us as a resource to be exploited and then thrown away like garbage.
Indeed. Okay, here is a little update. Coup on the Capitol building. This is Marjorie Greene Taylor. She's talking here. She's formally requesting that the United States Capitol Police preserve all video surveillance footage, photographic evidence, police reports, arrest records of the House office buildings October 18th. That's today, I believe, dear Chief. So this is actually a thing here. Now, what is her posturing here as well? And because it looked like just a sit-in for peace kind of demonstration.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. We saw it in the 1960s. It's nothing alarming like the one on the day after January 5th, Jim Fetzer.
I'm a big fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she's on the wrong side of this issue. She's coming out for Israel. I'm very disturbed by that. She ought to be more perceptive and even-handed and balanced. But it's not an insurrection. It's just a peaceful protest. That's all that's going on here. And it's very appropriate that it should be taking place.
Yeah, she's wrong, Jim. There's nothing wrong with protesting. All right, let's continue on the pathway forward here. Here's the next article, and we're getting very close to inquiries, comments, questions. This is in a different language, I believe. Let me try to transcribe this in my with my
intellect. Well, if you went up to the article, it gives you an English translation.
My 19th century Russian's a little outdated to read this one.
Well, yeah, here you go. Just stop there.
There it is. Okay. Now we're on the right track. Go ahead, Jim. If you want.
Top U.S. military general is in Tel Aviv. I'm here to ensure Israel has what it needs to defend itself. I'm particularly focused on avoiding other parties expanding the conflict. Believe me, the U.S. should not be there. We have no business being there. It's completely wrong. And our carriers, frankly, are sitting ducks. Aircraft carriers in the day of guided missiles are an anachronism. They're easily sunk. And one of my fears, Dean, and you can go back to us and off of the article.
Yeah, right. That, go ahead.
Is that a force? It could be Israel itself is going to sink one of these carriers. We're going to lose 5,000 sailors and Marines and blame it on Hamas to draw the U.S. more deeply in. They could sink them both. 10,000 sailors and Marines, it could easily be done.
Jim, so that's exactly what Mike Adams said on our big special, TV special, just months ago. He got word, he won't tell me from who, that there's major anticipation of a U.S. naval ship sinking, but they don't know by who or for what particular reason. In the same regard, you know, I went public in March this year telling people that an imminent EMP attack was coming, and this is what they're telling the Army, but at least the training is happening. So we know something. They're looking in the future, Jim.
Dean, it's completely consistent with Bibi Netanyahu's modus operandi to stage another false flag to drag the U.S. into a war. It's ill-prepared to fight, and the consequences for us are going to be all bad. Everyone bad. Right off the bat, 5,000 or 10,000 sailors and Marine our most sophisticated aircraft carrier at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. I foresee this happening.
Well, here's a photo. Photo says 1,000 words. This is Vladimir Putin with what seems to be Brian Seltzer from CNN. I'm not sure who that is there. Yeah, that's just two bald guys to me. So let's go down here. What are we looking at exactly here, Jim?
Well, he's talking about the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip on a par with a siege of Leningrad during World War II. Now, this guy is nobody's fool. And by God, I think he is a great moral leader astride the world stage. There are a lot of lefties who would never admit that in a million years. But Biden is the most corrupt, running the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States and destroying America before our very eyes. And they're going to hang on to him like lemmings rushing off the cliff to the destruction of this once great nation.
Once great nation. Yes, indeed. Okay, I'm going to scroll through the live chats, everybody, here as we're now in that portion. There's a lot to talk about here on the lounge. It's a return to form. We have Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, and other all kinds of places. Brighton, hello to all of you out there. Emotionally charged subject. Also, I'm going to look for some questions here. And while I do that, you can look at the insurrection, the most dangerous insurrection now, which, you know, optics is cool and it's working here. Here it is. Dangerous people, Jim. Dangerous people. Okay.
It's like a campfire. They're going to break out into Kumbaya, Dean. I mean, it's ridiculous. Peaceful protest. We have that right under the First Amendment to petition our government for grievances. That's what happened on January 6th, except it was all contrived by Pelosi and Schumer and the FBI to turn it into something exaggerated so they could try to deprive Trump of his right to run for president again. They fear him like I've never seen any party fear an alternative candidate in history of the United States. It's astonishing, even mind-boggling.
It is very mind-boggling, and yes. Okay, let's go to Rumble here. Here's a lot of people who are piping in all over the place from all parts of the country. And yes, let's get to this one here. We have, this is from I'm Pissed. I haven't heard the borders are closing, which I feel they should. Are the borders closing? Not at this moment. Here's one from Cetros Spotlight. Thank you, Cetros, who did a, I believe they're called Super Chats. So that's what they're. Somebody wants to give you a gin martini from one gym to another. Okay, that's for you, Jim. Okay. I'll make sure I get that to you.
Thanks.
Yes.
I'm a gin and tonic guy rather than a martini. Tanqueray and Canada Dry.
We'll make sure we get that and make it a double, too, if you're the barmaid out there listening. Okay, so that's one of them. We'll get that to him. Thank you very much. Here's from Robbie978. I really hope they don't destroy our ships. Military, but if that does happen, we will know the Biden administration is behind it. Just like I'm saying, I don't think it's out of the question to say Netanyahu was monitoring the so-called Hamas people breaking into Israel there, because that's exactly what was happening on 9/11 with the 19 cavemen, Jim. I don't know if you heard about 9/11.
He orchestrated the whole event. There were no Islamic terrorists. All the plane crashes were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. That's a story for another day, but they're past masters at making war by deception, which is the motto of the Mossad.
It is Mossad. I mean, hey, Ghislaine Maxwell, she was Mossad. Her father was Mossad. Epstein was Mossad. What Epstein did of blackmailing people, they call that in the Mossad brownstone operations. Brownstone operations, and those type of assets and operatives are in many countries, specifically the United States. I would even recommend Canada as well, masquerading as, you know, just normal, just Americana patriot politicos folk. All right, here's another one. We have Ela Broughton saying another money laundering opportunity, of course.
Yeah, Biden wants to get another 100 billion to give 50 to Ukraine and 50 to Israel. Got the problem because you can't do any financial without Speaker of the House. All financial bills have to originate in the House. They should install Jordan, but as I've explained, they're afraid he's not going to go for all this money laundering operation because he has too much integrity. So they're paying off representatives to vote against him so they can keep the money train flowing.
Well, and exactly, and they need this war. A lot of people are invested in the wartime technologies and stock markets up there, the public trade. Here we have Mr. Watland, who says treacherous leaders using false flags. Also, one of our longtime viewers, Mr. Glenn Claddock, his wife just beat cancer. Congratulations to you, Glenn, and your family. That's wonderful to hear. Also, here's another one. We have the Gang of Four. Wonderful. Our southern border is the most traitorous border in the world. Imagine the Chinese and Muslim cells in the place right now.
You have the Biden admin to thank for this. Trump had shut it down to a trickle.
So some of the intel I've released over time, Jim, I don't know if you recall, but you know, China, in their infiltration in our countries is so blatant and so blatant, so overt that you're freely available to talk about it on Fox News. However, you talk about infiltration of operatives from Israel, that's not allowed. So what I heard was there was 2 weeks given to Trump to step down by January 7th of 2021, or the entire East Coast was going to blow up from dirty bombs. And it was going to be blamed on China, and it was actually going to be done by Mossad. That's what we heard. And I released that information. Here we are. Okay, here it is. Tika Boom says 3 days without water, but only 8 hours without coffee. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, like 6 hours, they allowed the break into Israel happen. And there's no IDF for just 6 hours. They were just watching it happen. Let it happen. I mean, come on.
He ordered the stand down. He moved them up to the West Bank on a flimsy pretext. Just like Cheney had all the Air Force everywhere, but where they could intercept the proposed aircraft that were used on 9/11, which were all fabricated and fake.
Yeah, just like Norman Mineta said, he said this: the plans still stand, you know, which is standing down. That is, here's Julie Bennett saying, "Hiya, Dean and Jim from London, UK." So this is what they have always done: finance both sides. Because Biden, I heard, sent money to Palestine. I bet it's snowing in the White House with all the cocaine. Oh, wow, what an image! They do.
Yeah,
they do.
He sent them, I think, $6 million to Hamas just days before the event, no doubt to give them an extra boost.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We have Rage Against Machine, who's very poignant, always on the money, saying the following: head of the snake, Catholic, Jesuits, Freemasons, they're the ones giving the orders. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, here's, yeah, this is going to make a wreck on the holidays, somebody said. Don Anderson claims, yes, Jim, but think of this: if our troops go over there, we will be stuck with these military age men from other countries. That's what I'm saying, Don. All of the militaries are all dedicated to this region. What do we think is going to happen here with all the military equipment we sent to Ukraine?
Right.
Remember the thesis: it's going to come back here to haunt us.
Right.
This is, I mean, come these on. All, what is wrong with Marjorie Greene? They don't see that? My God. Okay. Yes, well, Melody.
They want it, Dean. They're orchestrating all of this. Right.
Yes.
Like America doesn't have enough issues to deal with. 100% correct. And they're not dealing with any of them. They're sending all our money to Ukraine and Israel. The hell with America. They could care less.
Right, exactly. And Gang of Four, you're absolutely right. Missile made by Raytheon. There it is right there. Raytheon and Lockheed Martin are the ones profiting right now. They're soaring in their stocks as we speak.
I'll bet it's their lobbyists who are making deals with representatives to vote against Jim Jordan to keep their profit margin flowing.
Easily. I mean, even the blind don't need Braille to read that one, Jim. That's right on the money. Elite Bloodlines say, okay, let me ask you this, Jim, as I continue to pan for gold here. How do we see this ending? Because I have about two or three different scenarios of how this is going to play out. But I would like to get your take on it. And I think it would be very fruitful for the overall conjecture here.
Well, I think Bibi, man, is he frustrated right now because he was prepared to slaughter the Gazans. And he's had to pause because the reaction of the world has been ferocious in opposition. They're trying massively to play off as though this bombing of the hospital wasn't their deed. But as you've already seen, it's impossible that it was done by Hamas. I believe that the fuse has been ignited. I think we're up for a holy war of the Middle East. I think Israel is done, and the only question is whether the rest of the world goes down with them, Dean.
Okay, let me answer this. We have Greg Hines, who says most politicians have dual citizenship with Israel, even Jim Jordan. Greg, we did a research on that a few days ago, and it's okay, you might have missed it because we're kind of banned on Facebook in the moment, but we found no evidence to support that blanket statement regarding Jim Jordan. We looked all the way back to 2015. However, 2018 in the U.S., you were no longer required to prove or drop your secondary citizenship, unlike all the other countries out there. They got rid of that in 2018, 2019. So that's good to know there. That's how that one is. Okay, so here's how I see it, Jim, and I want your take. Is I see there's two options here. Either that the all these countries in the Holy War are going to surround Israel, and I think that's the opportunity for the dissidents, the awakened in Israel, to oust, like we see over there going to sit down and protest, to oust Benjamin Netanyahu, his cabinet, and negotiate with all, you know, the surrounding areas that, look, we have a criminal class cabal, a deep state running Israel. Get rid of these guys. We want to live in peace. We're the youth. We all play the same things and music, what have you. I see that happening in a potential. That's a big potential for the region for peace overall. Get rid of the cabinet.
Well, let me say, Dean, that the cooling off period that occurred because Biden was there has caused others to suggest an embargo on oil, for example, to Israel, and banning purchasing any Israeli products and others, that divestment agenda be employed to slowly strangle Israel rather than undertake an attack upon it militarily, because that's what the Israelis are anticipating, the military attack. That they think they can deal with, but the slow economic strangulation, that they cannot handle. So that would be the peaceful alternative to bring about the end of this monstrous Zionist regime of genocidal lunatics. And frankly, I mean that categorically. These people have lost their contact with reality and their humanity.
Absolutely. Here's a very poignant statement from Dr. Karen Peterson over there on Rumble. She says the following: they can't push us into the digital ID until there's worldwide unrest. Karen, that's absolutely correct, because this just came out today, breaking news. The WEF has now spoken, a whistleblower that is, and he's now warning the following.
The idea had been by central banks to introduce this, as we said, central bank digital currency. But have you ever seen an article or a video or, you know, whatever description of what it actually looks like? I mean, with central bank paper money, we know what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Bank digital currency, we know, and, you know, we've used it ourselves. We know what it looks like. But what does central bank digital currency look like? You see? So they never talk about that, because people won't actually like the looks of it.
Yeah.
Because it apparently looks, and several central banks apparently, as I heard from my sources, have already fully developed the final stage of CBDC. I mean, it comes in stages initially, like through your mobile phone.
Okay. So what he's talking about there, Jim, is the chip, the microchip. That's a global leader of tomorrow for the world economic frauds. Global elite plan to coerce people to take the implantable microchips by require them in order to access digital currencies. That's the CBDC, the central banking digital currency. This is being issued today. The talking points. Do you want to talk about this? Because as we're distracted, rightfully so, with what's happening, they're pushing the agenda forward in the RFID technology universe here.
That's a standard ploy, Dean. Create a massive distraction to do something truly evil and vicious. Because once we're chipped, for our lives are over. Our lives as free person, as independent human beings, is gone. We are subject to their whims, because if they don't like our behavior, they can just cut us off. And we can starve, we can protest, do what we can, but by God, they'll take us out. Dean, I think this is a bona fide real problem.
Yeah, and this is what they want too, the universal basic income, the UBI. UBIs. German economists, they're already talking about, they're sending their people out there. This came from the International Summit of last year, RFID chip. This is why they want the biometrics everywhere. And the COVID-1984 plays a role in the microchip scheme, the need for this in the rollout. Yes, very Orwellian, to say the least. That's how that one goes. Just in time for the Gates Foundation, who's just coming out of the decrepit coffins of life. They're pushing for this too now, as we speak about this. Just incredible. No shame whatsoever. No shame. Okay, let's take it.
Their contempt for humanity is profound. These are elitists who believe only they are entitled to freedom and ordinary people are not. We are the useless eaters described by Henry Kissinger decades and decades ago. It's outrageous. We outnumber them built by the billions compared to a few thousand. but they're in key positions of control and they're affecting our future. The question becomes, can we do anything about it? And it may be that we have no choice but to lock and load and overthrow a tyrannical government, just as the Declaration of Independence declares our right to be.
Absolutely. Take a boom. You're on the money here tonight. Communism being the ultimate goal. Yes, I call it corporate communism, not your grandfather's communism. That's the old days. Now it's very, very much.
Well, universal income is they're going to eschew entrepreneurs and capitalism and investment and achievement and merit. Everyone's going to be treated the same. It's part of the reason they're trying to treat men and women as interchangeable, as though there were no biological difference. Blacks and whites, as though they were equal in ability and talent, when blacks are clearly physically, athletically superior, whites clearly intellectually and mentally superior. I mean, these differences are innate and genetic and products of evolution, but they That's don't true. Care about science. They have an ideology that trumps facts.
No, that's true. And you know, Irish people can drink. That's one of the other benefits and traits we often forget. Here we have some good news, Jim, which I heard both of us like, and the audience as well. This is coming from Rumble. Angelina Wolf declares another declaration saying that Arkansas declares China cannot own property in their state. Some good news to share there. Yes, it is, Angelina. And I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that.
That's Huckabee Sanders. Yeah, she's making herself a hell of a governor down there in Arkansas, doing the job.
I forgot she's a governor tonight.
Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom is finding an anti-parent law that allows the parents to take kids away from the families over transgender issues. It's just insane.
It is insane. There's a lot of pro that over there. I'm pissed over there. Beverly says, Jim looks spiffy tonight. Yes, I agree. Jim, you look great tonight. You look better than I do. That's for sure. Then we have more people. Okay, so two more questions here, and then we're going to give our final thoughts. Yes, Mary Roberts saying the following. They're paying those illegals coming in under the card they give them. Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
They're making $2,200 a month. They're being given food. They're being given homes. They're being given green visas. They're given the royal treatment. They're giving the American people the shaft.
Yes, Leela Broughton, absolutely on the money. Just like a magician to strike with one hand while the other one tricks you. Yes, it is. Yes, it Indeed. Is. What do we think about BRICS, Jim, as Gang of Four bringing up CBDC? The CBDC, which is the central banking and the EU, they're very, they didn't think they would have competition here, but they do, with over 170 countries now signed on to BRICS. Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts? What are your
BRICS
thoughts on
is
this?
The future. What the Biden admin did when Russia invaded Ukraine was kick them out of SWIFT, which was an international financial, and the original head of SWIFT rejected it, that it not be politicized. So he had him fired and replaced with a compliant stooge who would manipulate the financial system so other countries saw, man, if we're a part of SWIFT and we do something the United States doesn't like, they can cut us off financially at the knees. They're all going to BRICS. The Biden admin has mangled every possible way the situation in the United States. We are held in contempt. We are despised by the overwhelming majority of the world for good reason.
Yes, indeed. And here are some other scenes from the current insurrection that is just so dangerous. Look at that. They have craft services there. They have ushers that, walk you to your seats. They have a camera crew. I failed to see the travesty unfold that needs the police. I mean, come on. Give me a bloody break here. Okay, finally here. This is a good one to leave off on. Greg Hines, thank you for being here today. We have a lot of Canadian viewers all over the place. Lots of censorship here in Canada. How can the Liberals support the Alphabet Mafia and Palestine Muslims and cry anti-Semitism at the same time? This goes into they want the war. They don't care who starts or who's finishing it. They want this conflict because they couldn't get it with Ukraine. Take that to note there. take that.
I think that's a good point, Dean, and they may very well get it.
Yeah, they could very well get it. I mean, if I just even just think about it a little bit, I mean, hey, is it crazy to think that missile could have came from an other, you know, like somebody that is just wanting to create havoc, wreak havoc in the whole region? Yeah, it could be possible, but, you know, there's a combination of things. Anyways, we're going to give our final thoughts here. We want to thank everyone for piping in here. There's a lot of just beautiful comments out there and conjecture. All right, Jim, what is your final thoughts on this very, very historical time to be alive, as people are as confused as this is brand new information for a lot of people, but yet confusing? Jim Fetzer.
Well, I think that the cooler heads prevail, the slow economic strangulation of Israel is overwhelmingly preferable to military attack. But from what I know of human nature, we're far more likely to get the latter than the former. All bets are off, because when you have individuals recommending the Samson option, and apparently they do have nukes in all the capitals of Europe and in all the major cities of the United States, I do believe they are willing to follow through and take the rest of the world down with them.
Very, very good point. Very good point. And I may be doing some overtime and some backstage for our members, indeed. So my final thought here is, and thank you all for joining us here as the lounge has returned to form here with my colleagues, Aaron Cates. We want to thank him. Quite emotional time, as you can imagine. And that's just being in Canada alone. Also, thanks to Jim Fetzer. But my final take on this as we close the lounge here is, this is the opportunity for everybody to come together and call out the criminalities of the conspiratorial reality right in front of us. And this is why people like Jim Fetzer, whose life has been dedicated to this work of presenting and showing the fraud, because if we can all see the same fraud, elements of it, intent, then we can come together and throw out the criminal class of our countries, our society, and prevent even further escalating and escalation of war. This is the chance to do it. True, just humanitarian, public, across the board dissent is needed. And we're seeing that in Israel, not publicly on a grand scale, but we know it's happening. There's a civil war in Israel right now, and it's happening over there at the Capitol building with it. Just scary insurrection, just totally scary. So this is the moment. And we have empathy and we have sympathy for the victims on both sides. We know, you know, innocent people don't deserve this, because war is a product of failed diplomacy. And that's how we see it here. And wonderful. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Jim Fetzer, you've been on fire, and many of the audience has as well. Aaron, it's good to see you. So, for Jim Fetzer, for Aaron Cates, I'm Dean Ryan saying thank you for sharing a bit of your late night with us here at the lounge. I'll be back very soon, probably tomorrow in that case. Until then, always remember to stay tuned and stay awake. Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.